Let's really commit to doing that because we believe God's hand is upon them. You know, I believe that God's hand is upon you today. The very fact that you're here to worship and under the word of God, that's evidence of God's grace. Amen? And I really believe that God has been speaking to us powerfully through our teaching series. And I pray that he will speak again today and this word will be of encouragement to you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word to our hearts. Thank you for the way that we've been studying together these wonderful truths that if God raised Jesus, he can raise us. And Lord, thank you for raising us up in you to a new life, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And I thank you, it's all because of your grace, nothing we have made possible, but it's because you died and rose again. Because you live, we now live in you. And we celebrate this truth this morning. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would help me to share the thoughts that you've laid on my heart, that it would bring life to your people, bring revelation. Lord, lead me as I speak to say things I may not plan to say, but if it's of you, that's what we want, Lord, that your word would hit the mark today and accomplish what you've sent it to do. So, Lord, we just come under your word and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you've been blessed by this teaching series. I feel the Holy Spirit's really been working in our services. If God raised Jesus, he can raise you. Do you believe that, church? Amen. You're living proof that Jesus is in the business of changing lives. And what I want to focus on this morning is that we were raised to reign. Amen? You may not be wearing crowns this morning, but you are kings and queens of the King. Amen? That you are part of the kingdom of God. You carry the power and authority of Christ. We were raised to reign. We are to be the head and not the tail. This doesn't mean we become proud and think, hey, look at me. No, in humility, we know it's by the grace of God that we can be who we are and do what we've been called to do. And we are to be influencers in this world. We are to stand out from the crowd, be bold, be courageous, be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, because this is our destiny to reign. Do you believe it, church? Amen. Here's a verse to start us off. Turn, if you like, or make a note. Revelation 1. The second part of verse 5 and into verse 6. Oh, thanks so much. God bless you. So Revelation 1, second part of chapter 5 and verse 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. What a great little verse there near the beginning of the book of Revelation. Did you hear this? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. He has loved us. You can be excited this morning. It's allowed. He has loved us. And guess what? He still does. That will never change. He has loved us. He has loosed us. You see where I'm going? Sin is not our master anymore. We are free. Hallelujah. If the Son has set you free, you are free. He has loved us. He has loosed us. It does not stop there. He has lifted us. Amen. He has lifted us. We have been raised to reign. He has lifted us to be people of influence. He has lifted us to be citizens of the kingdom, changing our world with the character and love and power of Christ that dwells within us. Kingdom and priest. We need to make some noise. We need to be seen and heard. We need to shake things up. You know, the early church, it was said of them that they turned the world upside down. These weren't quiet people hiding in a corner. They were getting out there and doing something that changed this world. They were bringing their A game. They were bringing the kingdom. We've been called to reign so we can bring the kingdom. Jesus said that we are to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know what heaven's like. Well, we haven't been there yet. But we know it's a place of perfection, of joy, of happiness, no sin, no sickness, the blessing of God. That's heaven, and we are to pray heaven will influence this earth. Amen? That God's will in heaven will be known to be His will here on the earth, and we need to pray in the kingdom, we need to live the kingdom, we need to show the kingdom, we need to start to reign and stand out and do what we've been called to do. Amen? This is what it's about. Sometimes we say, well, Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've loosed me. And I'm good. I'm good now. I'm waiting for heaven. No, no. He loves us. He's loosed us. And he's lifted us so we can do something for him. Not just so we can think, hey, I feel 10 feet tall. I'm so blessed. Well, that's, do you know something? That's not the point of blessing to end with us, is it? We are blessed so we can be a blessing. And this is what God's desire for us is. Jesus has not just restored our lives, he has raised us up into something greater than we've known before. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We have been given Christ's identity. We're in right relationship with God. We are children of the King. Do we know who we are this morning? And this is not to become proud. This is not to boast in ourselves. Like Paul, we boast in the Lord. We boast in what God has accomplished for us. Salvation's not just a ticket for heaven. It's a whole new way of living, a new way of thinking. Everything changed when we accepted Jesus. And he wants us to get this. He wants us to live as kings and queens of his kingdom. Victory is not just our hope, but our reality now. We are in Christ. And who is Christ? He is the risen, conquering, victorious King. That's who we serve today. And we are in him, and he is in us. Victory is our reality, because he is the victor. We are destined to rule, because we have been given Christ's power and authority. We are meant to influence the world for the kingdom. But let's be honest, we don't always live like this. We don't always remember this. We get stuck. We get pulled back into our old ways of living and thinking. But God wants us to live in this reality today. And this is one of my key verses, Romans 5:17. Please turn to it. Please mark it. Mark it in your Bible, write it down, meditate on it, pray over it, because this verse is life-changing. It's been life-changing for me. Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more? Everyone say, how much more? Say it to the person next to you. How much more? Get those three words, guys. Here we go. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Someone say amen. Amen. We used to identify with Adam, the first man. It led to sin, led to death, led to separation from God. There's no reigning going on here, is there? But now we identify with the new man, the second Adam. We now identify with the perfect Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, we have stepped over from death to life. In him, we have entered into a new way of living and thinking and being, where it's all about reigning, not complaining. It's all about living, not existing. It's all about freedom, not bondage. It's all about life, not death. This is who we are. This is what we have because of the one man, the God man, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to take a little bit longer on this verse. I want us to break it down. And what is the Holy Spirit saying? If by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, death was reigning there. Life is reigning now. Amen? Wow. Life is reigning in Jesus. Let's look at this. How much more will we reign in life through Jesus Christ? You may not feel like you're reigning right now. You may not feel like you're having an impact like you want to. Maybe circumstances have overwhelmed you. Maybe thoughts have overwhelmed you. Maybe you're focused on other people. You're focusing on your mistakes. Let's, please, to state the obvious, let's focus on Jesus. Who knew? That changes our life. Who knew that if we got hold of Jesus, everything would be okay? Amen? If we see him, if we know him, if we love him, if we're consumed by him, we're going to reign. It's going to happen. It's not, well, if I get hold of Jesus, I might, you know, it might reign. Things might work out for me. If we get hold of him as he has got hold of us, we're going to live in a victorious life that we have never known and could never find anywhere else. It's Jesus. It's not Jesus and, it's Jesus only. It's Jesus we need. Can I say it again? It's Jesus we need. If you want to know what it is to be raised to reign, get hold of Jesus. Let Jesus get hold of you, because it's in him that you can know much more. How much more? How much more will we reign in life by doing it my own way? By going on a church discipleship program, by going to hear the next best thing, the next big thing, by wearing the right clothes, by talking like a good Christian. No. How much more will we reign? How much more will we reign in life, not through any other means other than the man, the God man, Jesus Christ? Because this is what we have in him. We have received God's abundant provision of grace. I love that it doesn't just say, hey, yeah, we've received a little bit of grace there. Yeah, that should help you along. No, abundant provision of grace. God is a generous God. Who knows this morning that God is a generous God? He loves to lavish blessing upon you. He is a good, good father that we've sung. And he wants to bless you. He wants to pour grace in you. We sing that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. And his grace wants to have impact and effect and bring change into your life. But we can reign in life because through Jesus, we have received God's abundant provision of grace. And what is this grace for? What does this grace mean? Here's three to get you started. His grace covers our sin. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he won't count your sin against you? Aren't you glad he doesn't say, I forgive you, but I don't forget? Aren't you glad it's washed, the slate has been wiped clean? He does not bring it up. It's under the blood. His grace has covered our sin. That should put a smile on your face, a spring in your step. His grace helps us through trials. Haven't you found in those difficult times of your life, it's a supernatural grace that comes upon you that can help you through. Other people think, I don't know how you're coping. I don't know how you're getting there. And you know God stepped in with his grace. And he was very generous about it. Amen? And he carries you through those times. It's his grace. His grace empowers us to live. You see, grace just doesn't cover your sin, but grace helps you not to fall back into the same sin again. Isn't that great? Grace isn't just where you go to when you've messed up again, but he wants to empower you by his presence to enable you to live differently in a way that will honor him and be a witness to the world. He wants to free you from the ways you used to follow, that you can begin to tap into this new overcoming life that's yours by God's grace in Christ. This is the grace we have. His abundant provision of grace. His grace covers our sin. His grace helps us through trials. His grace empowers us to live. Don't we need some more of this grace? Yeah. Do you want to start reigning a bit more in your life? Let's get some grace. Let's get some grace from this supplier, the Lord Jesus Christ, his abundant provision of grace. And that's not all. We have received the gift of his righteousness. Wow, I can reign because I've got his grace, and alongside that, I've got his righteousness. I'm fully armed. I'm ready to go. I'm equipped to live. God's given everything that I need in Christ to live for Christ. Notice I added the word his. We have received the gift of his righteousness. You see, our righteousness is filthy rags. Our righteousness will never impress God. The only thing that pleases God is faith. So let's have faith in his righteousness. Amen? Not faith in our own righteousness, which will always fall short. We can reign in life through Jesus Christ, one, because of his abundant provision of grace, and two, because of his gift of righteousness. We can stand tall, stand strong, not thinking, am I doing enough to get into God's good books? Jesus put you in God's good books. Deal with it. All right? Stop thinking that it's on you, because it's not, because Jesus said, it's on me. All your sin are on my shoulders. I'm going to die in your place, because you will never be good enough on your own, but I'm good enough, and I've made you good enough. If you receive my gift. It's not a gift we can earn. It's nothing we can do. We just have to say thank you and receive. You think, well, surely there's something. No, no. Salvation, faith equals salvation. Plus works as a fruit of a changed life. That's the equation we've got to live by. Too often we live by a different equation. We think it's faith plus works equals salvation. But that's unbiblical. That's not what Jesus taught. That is not the reality of following Jesus. It's faith equals salvation plus works. So if you're living by a different equation, you need to change where you put your works. There is no faith plus. It's faith equals salvation plus works. Write that down. That's good. Marlon's writing it down. That's good stuff. We've got to get this in our hearts, guys. We think we understand grace, but we still start living as if it's on us. We still start trying to impress God and impress people. And we've fallen into self-righteousness. You will never reign in life if you're trying to be self-righteous. If you want to reign in life, you've got to fall totally on God. So I'm falling on your grace, Lord. I'm receiving your righteousness. It's got to be you, not me. His righteousness gives us a new heart. Do you know you have a new heart? Amen. He's given you a new heart, the heart of Jesus. He's taken your sin. You're not living by the sinful nature anymore. You have a new nature, a new heart, which is perfect in Christ. That is who you really are now. You have the potential to be more like Jesus because Jesus is on the inside of you. Wow. His righteousness gives us a new heart. His righteousness makes us right before God. We can stand before God blameless, righteous, because we have trusted in the merits of Christ, not in our own merits. We've got nothing to fear. We don't need to fear condemnation. We don't need to fear judgment. We don't need to fear falling out with God, because he sees Jesus when he looks at you. If every day you choose to put your trust in him and what he's done for you at the cross, he's made us right before God. How can you not start to reign when you know that God thinks you're great? When you know that God likes you, it makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? I'm his favorite, guys. Sorry, but that's the way it is. No, we're all his favorites. And we need to get this. We need to know this. We need to live this. He makes us right before God. And then he enables us to live righteously. Because the righteousness is in here. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, it can be seen more on the outside. So the outside isn't me trying hard to be good, but it's allowing the good in here that he put there to come forth in our daily life as we choose to live by faith and to rely on his grace. Amen? Are we getting this morning? I know we kind of know this, but do we sometimes? Lord, help us. How much more will we reign in life through Jesus Christ? We have received God's abundant provision of grace. And his grace covers our sin, helps us through trials, empowers us to live. Wow, thank you for your grace. God says, okay, there's more. you know, you think that's good. I've got some more coming your way. Here's the gift of righteousness. And his righteousness gives us a new heart. It makes us right before God. It enables us to live righteously from the inside out. You see, we can reign in life in Jesus because in him we have all the grace we ever need and all the righteousness we ever need because it's only found in him. Are we getting this? Amen? How can we not reign when we've got his grace and his righteousness? This is a how much more kind of life. I want to live a how much more kind of life. Do you? How much more kind of life where we are reigning in victory, not complaining in defeat. We've been there many times, haven't we? Complaining in defeat, and Jesus would say to us, hello. There's me. You forgot about me. You're complaining in defeat. But there's me in your life. Hello. And God wants to bring that revelation. We think, hang on a minute. I've got Jesus. So the complaining in defeat ends. And I choose to believe what I've been given by his grace, his righteousness, and I'm going to start today reigning in victory. It's got to be a choice. We wait for circumstances to change before we start reigning, but reigning starts with a choice to believe what God has said. If we always wait for circumstances to go our way, we're going to struggle to reign in life. But when we know the truth of God's word and what we have in Christ, even before things change around us, they've changed in us because we believe his word and we're going to start reigning. We're going to start living as kings, amen? Not living as paupers, not living defeatist lives, not thinking the world's against us because God's on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? It's no one if you weren't sure. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are meant to reign. We have been raised to reign. Watch out, world, we're coming. And we mean business. We're not going to be quiet. We're not going to act like we've been defeated. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to mean business. We're going to do damage to the kingdom of darkness and see an increase of the kingdom of light because we know who's in our life and he's called us to reign. I want to share a story, one of my favorite Bible characters. And this was one of the first messages I heard in a youth group. And it really took hold of my heart. So the first message I then shared, age 12 years old in the youth group, was on the same Bible character. And his name is Gideon. Gideon's one of my heroes. Turn with me to Judges 6, 12 to 16. Judges 6, 12 to 16. We're not going to read the whole passage, you know, the whole chapter. There's lots to be said about Gideon. But I just want to give you a few thoughts to kind of bring everything together that we've looked at this morning. Okay, Judges 6 from verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together." When I first heard this word, it changed my life. As a young Christian, and the focus of the message that inspired my first message at age 12 was that God sees the potential in you. And this is building on what we're talking about reigning, because Gideon didn't feel like he was reigning. His people, the Israelites, were being persecuted by the Midianites. He was hiding in a wine press, just trying to get by, living in fear, feeling defeated, thinking, God has given up on us. I don't know what's going to happen. We're in desperate need. But God saw Gideon, and he saw potential, and he went to pay him a visit. The angel of the Lord came to him. Says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And you know something? God says to you, and he says to me this morning, I am with you, mighty warrior. Because God sees our greatness. He sees it before we do. And he sees your greatness today in him. He sees your potential this morning. He sees the gifts. He sees the passion. He sees what is inside of you that he has placed there. And he would come to you this morning and he would say, I am with you, mighty warrior. God sees our greatness. And of course, Gideon says, thank you, Lord, for making me great. I'm ready to do whatever you ask of me. Let's go for it. Let's reign and do your work. No. His response is, but sir, but God. Maybe this morning when God sees the greatness in you and wants to encourage that from within you and help you to reign in life, your response is, but God. But God, what about this? What about my circumstances? God, I'm really busy. God, I've got bills to pay. God, I've got all these commitments. God, I don't have time. God, what about this that happened in the past? What about this that's happening now? You see, God sees our greatness, but we see the limits of our circumstances. But God, maybe this morning God is speaking to you, encouraging you, calling out greatness from within you. And your response is, but God. But God, really. Look at my life, God. You know, there's too much going on right now. I can't possibly think differently or live differently to where I am right now. You see, Gideon's reply was, you know, well, if God's with us, why is this happening? We've heard about what you've done before, but, you know, we feel like you've abandoned us. And he's just focused on the issue with the Midianites. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up? Yeah. What? Praise God for a persistent God. Yeah. He's persistent with his love. He's persistent with his grace. He's persistent with his righteousness. He's persistent with the call that he's got on your life. He's not going to give up easily. And God speaks through the angel of the Lord again. And it's like, he doesn't say, well, let's talk about this. Yeah, you're right. I've not been around much recently. And yes, you do have a lot going on. And he kind of moves beyond Gideon's question. And he says, go. It's like, God, aren't you listening to me? Go. He says, go. We say, but God, and God says, go. We've got a but, and he's got a go. God sees us doing great things. You see, God not only sees our greatness, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, but God sees us doing great things. Do you know that God sees you doing great things that you can't see yet? You can't see it happening, but God sees it. He's outside of time. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. And he sees what you're going to do for him. And God could see his plan for Gideon. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God, in God's eyes, it's a done deal. I'm sending you. You're going to get this done. I'm with you. So you need to go. It's going to happen. He sees great things for Gideon. Do you know, God not only sees the greatness in you, but he sees you doing great things. In fact, you are doing great things now, and I'm sure you don't even realize it half the time. The small things we do for God are actually big things in his kingdom, because we're making an impact in our world. So surely now Gideon's going to get it. Surely now he's going to step up and say, okay, God, let's do this thing. What's his response? But Lord, he's still kind of on that same train of thought. But Lord, how can I save Israel? You see, we move from the but God and we move on to how can I? How can I? Have you ever said that to God? How can I? Where before you saw a limit in your situation, in your circumstances, now we start to see the limit in our own lives. How can I? We've given the reasons of our circumstances why we can't step up, but now we give reasons in our own life. We say, Lord, I've not been trained. God, I'm quite a new Christian. Lord, I've done some big mistakes in my life. Or, Lord, my health isn't always great. Or, God, I've got other, you know, family commitments. And, Lord, I feel like I don't know you as well as I should. And we can give all these reasons, these excuses, and we can limit ourselves. How can I? God wants to turn our how can I to this is how I can. He wants to change our how can I to this is how I can. And how can we? The answer is in verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Have you noticed that God's message hasn't changed throughout this dialogue? Gideon's been on a journey here, but God's been consistent. If we go back to verse 12, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He hears Gideon's excuses. You get to verse 16. Nothing's changed. The word is still true. God is confident in what can happen here because the Lord is with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. The Lord is with you. You see, God sees the greatness in us. God sees us doing great things. And God sees our great victory. And he could see the victory of the Midians being defeated by the work of Gideon partnering with God. And this is what we have to remember. It's a partnership with God. He's the senior partner, obviously. But it's a partnership. And God wants to partner with you and enable you to do things you wouldn't be able to do on your own. He wants to take your life into extraordinary things, into extraordinary places. You know, it was said of Paul that Paul did extraordinary miracles. But Paul said about himself, I am what I am by the grace of God. Let's always see ourselves in light of God and what he is doing. It's not about what we have in ourselves, but it's about who's working in us and through us. But let me encourage us today, no more excuses. Let God do his thing in and through your life. His truth is more powerful than our excuses. We've made excuses too long. And God said, it's time. It's time to step up. It's time to take me at my word. I want you to reign. I want you to influence your world. I want to lead you into places you would never picture yourself going. There's a verse in the scriptures in Proverbs that says a man's gift will make room for him and bring him into the presence of kings. God wants us to be influencers. He wants us to be bold. We've got something to say when God's words are on our lips. Amen? Our presence can change the atmosphere in places we go because we carry his presence. We need to understand what God wants to do through us. Jesus is alive and lives in us, so we can do anything that God has called us and graced us to do. God has graced us to do specific things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. You may say today, I don't feel much like a conqueror. But that doesn't mean you're not one. Because the truth is greater than how we feel, than our circumstances, than our excuses, other people. God's bigger than us. Yeah. This is deep teaching this morning. God is bigger than us. Yeah. State the obvious. Yeah. But we got to get this. We got to know this. And I could tell you stories of my journey where God has led me to places. God has shown me things. God has used me in ways that I think, how on earth did this happen? And I don't boast in myself. I boast in the Lord because it's only God. It's only God, and he wants to work with you and use you. Will you pray for me? Because God's opened up a crazy door for me recently, and I've just got to go with it. Who knows when God's moving, even if you don't get it, you just got to go with it. Don't try and get it, go with it. That's good, write it down, Marlon. Don't try and get it, go with it, all right? So pray for me, because God's led me to be part of a group that meets in Parliament to talk about the importance of families and marriage and supporting children, young people, parents within society. And I feel out of my depth. I don't feel I know enough. And God would say to me, I put you here, I'm with you, I've called you, and I'm going to grace you for this, that you can be in the House of Commons and know a total peace and confidence that you're in the right place at the right time, and you've got the right thing that I want you to say, because I have put you here because I want you to reign. Amen? Amen? And I've got to get over my insecurities and fears and say, okay, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to go with it. Just go with it. Go with it, because, you know, I'm sure we can all look at our life and see the way God has opened doors that we could not have brought about unless God was in it. And what we're seeing God do with Epic Dad is so exciting, reaching out to families, fathers in the community, and where God's going to take that. Who knows? But I know that God is moving. So we just got to jump right in and go with God. So what areas does God want you to reign in today? In your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in a difficult situation, in God calling you into new areas of ministry that you don't feel you can do. But that's great, because when you're weak, he becomes stronger in us. And if God has called you to it, he will grace you for it. And he will grow you in it. He will enlarge your capacity. And God showed Gideon that he could be the man God saw that he could be. You can be the man or woman that God sees you as. Lord, help us to reign. And let's start today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Just take a few moments to pray in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you're really struggling to feel like you're reigning, life's getting on top of you, you feel really weak, worried, overwhelmed, but know this, there's abundant grace for you today. The grace is there. The grace is there. His gift of righteousness is there. You can be confident in him in your life. You can reign. You can reign in Jesus. You can rise up and be strong.